can I suggest you don't give up your day job? Oh, that, now that got a laugh, so that was good. We really appreciate your connection. So if you can put that PowerPoint up for us, guys, that would be really great. Well, I do want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mums that are here and to those that are watching online. And it's great to know that you're there. And today, you're right, Phil, I do want to share some thoughts, not just on mothers, but on families. And I trust that that's something that will relate to you, because we all come from a family. So there is something that's precious for us. I've got a question for you. Who likes chocolates? Oh, there are some hands up. Very good. Lots of people love chocolates. And I'm going to do a quick poll today just to see what sort of chocolates and some bit connections about that would be good. And the way that you'll answer the poll, it's nothing to do with the iPhone, so it's okay. It's as old, simple, hands up. So you'll get to vote once in each of the sections, and there'll be a poll. And today I need a hand counter, and I thought the best man for that job is my son, Caleb. Come on up, Caleb. Yeah. And the reason is, he is an accountant, so I figured. He's also an auditor, so we don't have to pay anybody extra to check the results. So here's the survey we're going to do, and if you can just record the hands up. You are allowed to vote yourself.
I can.
You can, but only once, only on once. Each question, in each question. So
did everyone have to register to vote?
No, it's not like that. It's not the AGM. That's.
I do the judge.
All right, so the first question is only just a choice of two answers. Do you like soft centres or hard centres? And we'll do soft centres first. If you like a soft centre, raise your hand. You have to count now. Right, now, and those that like hard centres? Yes, I'm in this one. Oh, wow. Close count. We've even got the IT people raising their hands at the appropriate time. Very good. Now we're moving on to a little bit more in a choice. We've got a three-way selection as to the type of chocolate that you like. We have got white, milk, and dark. So can we first of all the people that like white chocolate, hands up. Right, okay. Now the milk chocolate fans. Oh, there's some on the floor down there. Don't miss them. Oh.
They're already here.
The head's nodding. And the people that like dark chocolate. Oh, yes, this is very impressive. Okay. Oh, that kind of might be a difficult one to judge. Okay. Now you have a seven-way choice. And this, I'm told, is the most popular flavours of chocolates in a box. So we've got seven to choose from. Please only select one. And you can choose either nut variety, orange, caramel, coffee, strawberry, mint, or Turkish delight. So we'll start with the nut varieties. All those that like nut varieties, hands up. Great. Orange. Great. See that one? Caramel. Oh, there's a few more here on the caramels. Coffee. Oh, yes. Strawberry. I'm not going too fast for you, am I?
No, not at all.
Oh, good.
Quick game's a good game.
Mint. Oh, got a few of those. Turkish delights. Oh, big flush at the end. Okay, got that?
Yes.
Very good. And do you want to, and I've got one more question here. Oh, wait a minute. Let's get the results for this lot here. So who won, soft or hard?
Oh, you're asking?
Yes, yeah.
The hard, actually, just.
That's okay, hard, yeah. That's okay. You were white, milk, dark, was there any discussion on that?
Only one clear winner, which was milk.
Milk, well, there
only
we go.
Only just, though.
Only just, okay. Now, how about the seven varieties? Was there a clear favourite there?
Very, very difficult. Pre-preferences, Turkish Delight was came in top.
Turkish delight. There we go. But there was a little bit of a sprinkling in the whole lot, wasn't
it? No, it was very close. The nut variety and caramel, very close seconds.
Okay, very good. Now, look, I do have one more question to complete the survey. How do you eat a box of chocolates? It seems to me there's a choice of two ways. You have the lucky dip, or you have that study the box lid and make a very definite choice. So we'll have the the lucky dip people, or we'll have the people who deliberately choose what they would like. Let's go lucky dips first. I must say on this survey, I was going to say that was only one source. That's all right. We had one female, mostly males, I will admit. And the next one, all those that like to study the box and make a selection, a resounding vote on that one. Okay. Do you want to announce that one?
That one was more obvious.
Fine. That was a very obvious one. Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate
your assistance today. That's pretty good. When I first was married, I went to stay with Peter's mum. We were married in Western Australia, and I did not know Peter's family at all because we met on a mission, then we got married, and then we came back to Melbourne, and we went for a weekend down to visit Peter's mother in Traralgon. And she was a school teacher, and it was Christmas, and she was given a box of chocolates. And right there and then, when she brought the box home, she then opened up the box of chocolates, and I then watched Peter and his mother dive into the box and devour them all in one sitting. Now, as you know in my vote, I like to read the box. I like to choose what I want to have according to that choice and find it. And I like to put one chocolate in my mouth, suck on it, savour it, get every ounce of flavour out of it, and really enjoy it. And I have to confess that it was an absolute shock to my system to know that this was not the case in the Brown family. And as we've done this chocolate poll today, we've discovered just how different we all are. And even if we're in the same family, we'll have different preferences when it comes to chocolates. Now, that might be really good if we're sharing a chocolate box here, because I think at least one person would get their very favourite chocolate, because there was a vote in every category, which could work out well. But how is family life like a box of chocolates? I hope you might have some ideas running round in your head, and they'll come to your mind as we think about them. We know that we are all unique in a family. Some of us are softies, some of us are hard nuts. We all have different gifts and abilities, personalities, and experiences that actually shape us all. And it can be hard sometimes to live with family members that are not like us. I soon learned that there was much more to the Brown family when I married into it than how they eat a box of chocolates. I learned to love different things, to appreciate different ways of celebrating. And in the process, Peter and I developed our own culture and raised our family with a mixture of both of our backgrounds coming into the play. And we learned to do life that was, for us, enriching. The Bible has so much to teach us on family life. People do not exist in isolation, but as part of a vast society being brought up in families. And thanks, Greg, for reading to us from Ephesians 3. You know, that Bible reading tells us that it talks about the family of God worldwide, in heaven and on earth. And for all of us that have personal faith in Jesus, we can have a very strong sense of belonging today, regardless of what our blood family relationship might be. I'm going to look at a couple of thoughts today on families that God has really spoken to me about. And the first thing I want to look at is from a verse found in Psalm 68. It says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling, and God sets the lonely in families. I wonder what your family is like. In our kids' song, Those Little Crabs, we heard how much they knew that they were loved in their family. It takes a very special act of the will to include people in your family, to look at someone who might be lonely and to think about what you can do for them. This is not a case of giving up your own time and your own relationships, but it's one of gaining new relationships and extending the experiences of your life. And whether you're single or married, divorced, you have no children or you have children, you can include others in your family and you can give love to them. When you think of a box of chocolates, there is enough to share. And it's actually so much nicer to open the box up and to share them and to include others. There is a real danger in our world today that we live only for self. And if you have a partner, you can live in just a very small bubble. And even if you have children, you can have a very closed family relationship. And it's very plain to see that life revolves around you and your family only. I want to tell you today, this is not God's intention, no matter what century we live in. I was thinking about this during the week when we had our lockdowns. Can your mind go back just 1 or 2 years ago? It seems a long time ago now that we're out of lockdown, but it was a long time when we lived in it. And I remember how the government knew that singles needed to do life with others and could not be locked down by themselves. And so they encouraged that you could have a bubble relationship with one other person that you could spend time with. And it was needful for mental well health, and it certainly provided a sounding board for lots of people during that very difficult time. Here in this church, we encourage people to belong to a connect group. For what reason? So you can connect. You can share your concerns. Others can pray for you and support you. And it's not all one way, because it's a two-way way of doing life as we pray together. We share highlights when we're up and when we're down, and we build each other up in those times. And I want to say to you, if you want to join a group, there's no better time than to think about that on Mother's Day, as we think about families and as we think about connections. And you can do that by sending an email to me or chatting to me this morning, and I will certainly follow that up. Hey, Phil, where have you gone to? Oh, I was remembering back to when we were doing Connect Life together. You went to the Middle East somewhere and you bought back a box of chocolates. Do you remember that occasion?
Yes, I do, Kay.
Where were you, Phil? What country was it?
I was in Dubai, Kay.
Dubai.
Camel chocolates just spoke to me.
Camel milk chocolates. Have you ever had one of those? Oh, it was delicious, but they must have been very expensive. It was a small box and we only got one each, but I do remember that.
Well, actually, it was a big box, but you still got one each.
It's all in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? The size of a box. Yay. Well, I want to also talk today about dealing with in-laws, because families tend to have in-laws. Now, in-laws are very much a part of our culture. You know, when our children marry, we, as parents, do not select their partners, as is the case in some cultures. And this means that we have to accept our children's choice, or we risk losing relationship with them. And when I think about the chocolate box, the issue here is not you choosing the chocolate, but rather being given something to eat that someone else has chosen. There are two mother-in-laws in the Bible that come to my mind. In the Old Testament, Naomi experienced much joy with two sons, and they each married girls who would not have been Naomi's choice. And then sadly, her husband died, and then both her sons died. What a huge loss this was to Naomi, and her family life was just totally torn apart. She then decided to leave the land where she was living and return to her homeland. And she released both her daughter-in-laws to stay where they were and to be with their families. But one daughter-in-law, Ruth, wanted to travel back with Naomi. And finally, Naomi let her do just that. There was a very special bond between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, and it took a great deal of love and care on both of their sides to make this relationship work. I love this story in the Bible because God's hand was on them both. Naomi was so sad that she had lost her sons and her husband. And in fact, when she arrived back in the town and the townspeople saw her coming, Naomi said to them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," meaning bitter, "because God has made my life bitter. I went away full and I have come back empty." It is true that God allows tragedies to happen to us in life, and that was true for Naomi, but he did not force her to respond with bitterness. She was responsible for that choice, not God. Have you ever dealt with a family member who is bitter? It's not easy. How did Ruth, the daughter-in-law, cope in this situation? And the Bible tells us the most amazing story of how she worked to get food and to collect grain that was left out in the fields for the poor. This was like the welfare system of that day. And it was left there for the widows and those that had no resources. Ruth showed great love to her mother-in-law. When Naomi met the townspeople on her return, remember what she said? "I went away full and I have come back empty." Was that true? Who was it that was standing beside Naomi when the townspeople met her? It was Ruth, her daughter-in-law. You know, Ruth was not a believer of God in the land where she lived. And in the most amazing way, she came to faith and to worship Naomi's God. And there is such a beautiful love story. I don't have time to tell you about that today, but I'll just give you a little teaser and a bit of a heads up to say that Ruth met a very well-to-do man named Boaz, who was watching her work so diligently to help her mother-in-law. And he, through an amazing set of circumstances, was able to marry her. And the best news of all that comes after that is that Boaz and Ruth had a baby. And that baby was placed in Naomi's arms. And she said, "Now I have joy." She got the grandchild that she longed for. And out of that very special grandchild came King David, and following on from that comes the line of Jesus. How amazing is it the way God brought this family that knew such loss and disappointment, he took them out of tragedy and bitterness and he gave them joy. And it might be that your family has not worked out how you would have hoped. You might be very bitter about some of the disappointments that have happened in your family. May you remember today that you are the one who chooses bitterness. This is not from God. And it's never too late to deal with that. And that's why this is a family message. It's not just for mums. This is a message for all of us in the family. It's for male and females as you process that information. Whether you're disappointed with your parents-in-law or you're disappointed with your daughter or son-in-law, this is for all of us and for those with partners in long-term relationships. The other little story I want to share with you is in the New Testament, and it's a story about the disciple Peter. We often see them as disciples, but forget that they had families and they had normal life that we too experience. And this little story, it's only just a few verses long, is actually found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Must have been a very important little story for all three to record. Peter had a mother-in-law living with him and helping in the house, and she got sick. In fact, Luke tells us, who was a doctor, she had a very high fever, so she was very, very sick. And when Jesus came to the home along with all the other disciples, he found out that Peter's mother was sick. He went into the room and he healed her, and he reached out and she immediately got up off of her sick bed and went out and served them and fed them. Have you ever wondered what they did? There wasn't any Kentucky's, there wasn't any McDonald's around the corner that they could nick around to. Someone had to prepare all the food, and that's just what Peter's mother-in-law did. I often think about Peter's mother-in-law, that what the impact that this healing had upon her and her family. You know, Peter as a disciple was away for long periods of time, and Mrs. Peter was at home with the family and, of course, with her mother. She helped to build the church through her service to her family. Peter's mother-in-law must have long remembered the day that Jesus healed her, and she showed that in the support that she gave to her family. What a special joy is ours as we support our families, as we give hands-on help to them, and how important it is that we pray for our families and we look for opportunities to grow them in God's ways. You know, it's not for us to look for results, but to keep on sowing good seeds into their life. We may not have chosen our in-laws, but we can certainly love them. Children very much make up a family. They love to spend time with their parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, and the very special people that God blesses them with that are not blood relatives, but are special people in the family. One of our sons lives 2 hours away, and we cannot be there to help them at a moment's notice when one of them is sick or when they have special needs. And we know that they have special friends around them that are just like family who care for them. And that's so special for Peter and I to know that they're not alone and God has got someone with them. I know that some of you have family overseas, far away, and you too can't have hands-on contact with them. Some of you have family members too that are interstate, and some of you have no family at all here in Melbourne. And how special it is to know that we can extend ourselves and include others in our family. I love this little verse in Proverbs that tells us there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Some friends are closer to us than family, our own flesh and blood. And it's so good in God's very big family to know when you're away from your biological family or you have no family that you need not be alone. Recently, I was given this very big box of favourites. And my grandkids think this is a pretty special big box. Part of the joy for them is to tip the whole box out, choose their favourite, and then put them back in the box. At times, the grandkids have asked me, "Nanny, who is your favourite son. I've got three to pick from. And my answer is always the same. Well, my favourite son in Surry Hills is Caleb. Glad you're here today. And my favourite son in Torquay is Steve. And my favourite son in Coddles Bridge is Tim. And then they'll ask me, well, who is your favourite grandchild? Everybody likes to think they might be the favourite. And there's 12 to pick from there. And the answer runs along the same way. And I say about the town where they might be living. And then I mention their age and we clarified that's okay. Yesterday, one grandson asked me that question. And I said, well, my favourite 7-year-old in Torquay. He said, Nana, I'm 8. Oh dear, you've got to get it right. You know, favourites are okay in a box of chocolates, but not in families. I want to share with you a very sad story. A sad story in God's Word that helps us to understand that mums and dads are not to have favourites or grandparents or aunts and uncles or whatever you might be. It will come back to bite you. In the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, in around chapters 25 to 33, there's a story of a couple called Isaac and Rebekah. And they had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And they each had a favourite child. It's a tangled web of family life that gave them all great pain. The parents tried to show bias, and it ended up with one son leaving home and not coming back for 20 years. Can you imagine the pain of the family members in that time frame? The Bible tells us about family life, warts and all. There are so many lessons that we can learn today from looking at what God has recorded in His Word. He wants us to learn from the mistakes that are there recorded for us. He wants us to see that we can have a heart that reflects His character and His attributes. We're doing a series at church right now on looking back and living forward. And there's so much to learn from those Old Testament prophets. The Bible tells us in Romans, for God does not show favoritism. And I love this verse in James 2:1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. James goes on to give an example of what life was like in that early church. Class culture was the way it was in the first century. If you had money, you were a person of influence and you were treated with the best seat. And the early church had both masters and slaves in the church family, rich and poor. And James goes on to very clearly say, do not give preferential seating to the rich. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you show favouritism, James goes on to say, you are sinning. That's a warning for us all. And it applies not only to church life, but it applies to us as we live in our families. I wonder if you can think of other areas where family life is like a box of chocolates. And by all means, I'd be happy for you to share that with me, whether it's a nice jokey sort of a thing or whether it's a more serious thing, feel free to share or put it up on the Facebook page. My prayer today is that you will just take heart and know that you are loved by the family of God. When you have personal faith in Jesus Christ, that means being sorry for your sin and knowing God's forgiveness. As you came into church this morning, each of our ladies were given that chocolate bar from our special three young people, Rebecca, Naomi, and Amelia, passed out the chocolates. But you know, that chocolate wasn't yours until you took it from them and held it for yourself. And I want to encourage you today that gift of eternal life that is offered freely by God is there for you, but you need to personally take it and know that it is yours. And are you including the lonely in your family? Open up your eyes and look around, and this will become a blessing to you and to the one that you reach out to. And how are you relating to your in-laws? They're not to be treated like outlaws. Think of them as not in-laws, but in love, because that's how God sees them and longs for you to relate that way. And do you have a favourite in your family? Do you need to acknowledge this to God and to ask Him for a special love for those that are hard to love and to do life with? God will help you in this area. And if this is an area of pain for you, and I know it is for many people, then talk to someone and know you are not alone in this area. Send me an email. The address will come up at the end of this if you're watching on live streaming, or chat with me, if not today, sometime through the week, and I'll be more than happy to journey with you. Yes, family life is like a box of chocolates. If you get one this weekend, take some time to think of your family as you eat the chocolates and as you share them with others. Bless you, each one. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the families that you've placed us in. We want to thank you for those that you've added to our families through relationships that our family members have. We want to pray, oh God, that we might be people who love unconditionally, who love without favour, and who know the love of God in their life so that they can share it with others. And for those today whose hearts are heavy because of loss of relationship, we pray, oh God, that you will draw very near to them and bring comfort and help them to know your presence with them. For those who mourn the loss of loved ones today, not with them anymore in their family, we pray that you, the God of all comfort, will remind them of the very big family of God that they are part of. And we thank you for those that we are able to do life with, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, amen indeed. And we've got a song now, and following that, Phil's going to lead us in communion. Thank you.